We can just give thanks. God's in control. And, you know, I don't know that much about his Christian life, but a Christian is on the Supreme Court. And that is going to be kind of unusual for today. Now, in the early days, the Supreme Court was made up mostly of Protestants. But today, there are very few Protestants on the Supreme Court. And, but only one. So, just thank God that he's in control. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer, test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Spirit. Otherwise, the trouble of getting up, getting dressed, and getting here, which Sunday morning is a chore. We can do it 5 days a week, go to work. But something about going to church on Sunday morning. Alright, well you made it. Let's make it count to eternity, be in the power of the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we once again thank you for this humble assembly. We thank you for the many opportunities you give this assembly to serve you, to spread your word. And Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. George Duffield Jr., born 1818, and died in 1888, wrote this hymn, Stand Up for Jesus, which we're going to sing, which you can be turning to, is page
391.
He wrote this hymn out of a tragic accident that resulted in the early death of one of the most stirring, according to this writer, stirring preachers in the Northeastern, and boy, did they need it. They need it today. You know, I didn't say that. I'm sorry. That was not nice. Northeastern United States, during the mid-19th century, Dudley Tying, T-Y-I-N-G is the preacher's name, 1821 to 1858, an inspiring preacher, was one of several ministers participating in a great citywide revival that swept Philadelphia. Boy, they need that there today, too. In 1858, history. Well, Philadelphia is the only city in the world that's booed Santa Claus. I mean, come on. He came out at halftime at a football game and the stands booed. Of course, I do, too, but that's a different story. All right. Now, his strong doctrinal preaching, I like that, and his rhetoric were popular for some and angered others, resulting in his resignation from the Episcopal congregation that he pastored following the retirement of his father. In addition to serving the newly organized Church of the Covenant, his midday service at the YMCA attracted crowds as large as 5,000. On one occasion, March the 30th, 1858, 1,000 men responded to the message of the gospel by committing their lives to Christ. During this sermon, Tying, he's the preacher, Tying is said to have declared, I would rather that this right arm were amputated at the trunk than that I should come short of my duty to you in delivering God's message. Prophetically and tragically, within a few weeks, while visiting the countryside, don't want to visit the countryside, while visiting the countryside, his arm was caught in the cogs of a corn thrasher and nearly lacerated, resulting in a great loss of blood and an infection that took his life a few days later. Either in his final sermon or on his deathbed, Tying is said to have said to his father, a retired Episcopal minister, stand up for Jesus, Father, and tell my brethren of the ministry to stand up for Jesus. Duffield, the son, the man who wrote this hymn, the son of a well-known Presbyterian minister, was educated at Yale University. I remember Yale was formed to teach pastors. To enter Princeton and Yale, you at Harvard, you didn't go there to learn the languages. I went to Dallas Seminary to learn Greek and Hebrew. You had to know Greek and Hebrew to get into these three institutions because the classes were taught in Hebrew and Greek. That's how astounding this was. But anyway, and Union Theological Seminary. He used his independent wealth, according to Reverend Young, to establish small congregations, I wish I knew him now, congregations, and to support evangelistic endeavors. Duffield was inspired by the funeral service of Tyne, that's the preacher, to preach on Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, which says, "Stand up, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." So let's stand and sing, stand up for Jesus, and pay attention to the words. This is a well-written hymn, and take it from Ephesians. So let's stand up and sing, stand up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. For to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye who are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus and in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him who overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Okay, let's begin with a prayer, and then we'll talk about Wednesday night in a moment. But let's begin with a prayer, and first of all, let's please remember Eve. She needs our prayers. Please be in daily prayer for Eve. And we will continue being in prayer for Phil, but we're very happy to see you this morning. Man, I'm very glad.
I'm going to pray until you saw me again, so I figure I better get in here.
I guess I put away my funeral service. I mean, you were really down. You were really down. So, good grief. Glad to have you here, man. Glad you've been, but we're going to continue praying for full relief. For recovery. Be in prayer for Thomas, who is in need of our prayers. And let's see, it would be your niece, your cousin, Candace. What's her last name?
Freeman.
Freeman. Young lady, about 19. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, my goodness, that's right. Wow. Yeah, wow, there too. My goodness, she's really related here. Why aren't she here? All right. Well, one reason she's not here, she's in the hospital. Yeah. So, her name is Candace, and I'm not going to say any more. Larry, what's the status?
They are still looking for a source of the infection. Things going on with Candace right now, as far as comparison, are somewhat similar to what's happening to Dalton symptomatically. So it is fairly critical. We have not had to go to the extent Dalton has yet, but we're prayerful that that will not happen. Monday, they will get some test results back from some significant testing that they're looking for. God knows what the answers to all of those tests are, but she was very weak when I saw her Friday. Still has her hope and her spirits about her. And so just pray for comfort and peace for her mother, and for strength for Candace, and again, just that she's able to journey through this looking towards God for this.
Is Candace still in the hospital? Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Please be in prayer for Candace, 20-year-old. Huh? 23. Oh, okay. So please be in prayer for Candace. She needs our prayers. And if I stay up here much longer, she'll get older. So please be in prayer for Candace as she needs our prayers. Now, is there any, we got Phil, Thomas, Eve, and anyone else that we need to be in prayer for? Yes.
There's a teenage girl, Kaylee. She's a believer, I think, and in the battle of just a lot of things going on in her life, ex-boyfriend, her car got towed. Problems at high school. She's a senior. She just needs a lot of prayer as far as realizing that she needs to walk by faith.
Absolutely.
I don't know that she knows that or anybody's really taught her that.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to pray. I'm going to be mean. I'm going to pray that she'll listen to you. Now, how's your friend doing that we've been in prayer for, that man?
I only get to see him once a month. The first Tuesday of each month, we have our retiree meeting in a restaurant or a grill.
Yeah.
And he's started to single me out and talk to me after we eat. And the conversation is going towards the Bible. And he's impressed with the veracity of the Bible. But I didn't want to push him too hard because he's one. A lot of people that are smart, you push too hard and then they push back. So, but he's obviously got some questions,
I've been in prayer almost every day for him.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll just continue being in prayer. That the Holy Spirit will just continue resting in his soul. Very good. Yes?
Your friend and this girl?
The girl's name is Kaylee, K-A-Y-L-E-E.
Okay.
And the guy's name, Les, for Lester.
Okay, yes.
Prayer for that we get a good result from Jim's stress test. We see the doctor on Friday.
Yes.
Yep. He went in for tests Tuesday and Friday, and we'll know the results when next week, this coming week. Okay? All right, this coming Friday. All right, let's be in prayer. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
I'm going to the doctor on Wednesday. Trying to get my knee fixed up with, they're going to put something in there to replace some missing cartilage that the doctor or whoever it is knows what they're doing and will actually accomplish, even though I haven't been taking their medicine, I've been taking the turmeric, that comes out all right.
Is that surgery?
Well, maybe I'll get my wife to drive me.
Is that surgery?
Just an injection.
Injection.
Or
okay.
It's once a week for 3 weeks.
Okay.
Wednesday's the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So they already gave me some cortisone to reduce the inflammation, but I didn't take this pill that increased my risk for heart attacks and strokes. It's like one of those warnings on television. This could cause your death. Maybe I don't want to take it.
They ought to cover themselves, Larry.
Asking me to update on Skylar, her dad DJ, the one with the brain cancer,
yes.
Headed back down to Houston to MD Anderson to get another chemo treatment. hoping we can maybe bring Skylar here on Wednesday when we all come. So Skylar, Warren, and their family, just the grandparents are trying to care for the kids, and so.
Kenzie, how's school?
Good.
You're all right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You learning anything?
Yes.
Good answer.
Especially when your parents are paying. Well, it's a good answer. Oh, wonderful. Any other prayer requests? Okay, what's going on with the camp in 2019?
So, great stuff going on with camp. We've, as we mentioned last week, we're relocating the facility. So, we have a lot of opportunity to expand, and I think there's a lot of excitement and conversations that are going on with regards to expanding. We also moved SLAM to that same location. So we are working on putting together the curriculum for SLAM. We have a planning meeting Saturday with the core group of folks that run the camps and stuff. So we're going to have it on Saturday afternoon. If anybody's interested, let us know, and we'll be more than happy to give you the information.
Is
5 o'clock
at the Wises next Saturday,
the 13th. So, if you're interested in being involved with that, let us know, and we'll make sure you have the information. And please pray for that planning.
What time?
5 o'clock on Saturday.
People, please be in prayer. That's a very important time. Going to be discussing what's going to be the theme, what's going to be the momentum of teaching these young people, and just don't criticize the young people. Pray for them. And pray for these young people. Pray that the right ones will get the word. And, okay, we're expanding it. And see what the Lord does with that. But please be in prayer for the planning of what's going to be done at the camp. And then at SLAM camp in March or April. February? End of March, okay. And, any other... request. Yes.
One of my friends, I'm trying to work on sharing the gospel with her, and so just getting the words and the timing to do that. So,
you're talking to her about the gospel, mm-hmm. And what's her first name?
Amanda.
Amanda?
Yes.
Let's be in prayer for Amanda.
Most important decision in her life. More important than marriage, more important than work, more important than college. Jesus Christ. So, please be in prayer for Ben. The Holy Spirit will give him the right words, and that will penetrate into her soul, and the Holy Spirit will convict her. And Ben, can I tell him what we've been working on? Okay. Ben is applying through the process of going to the Air Force Academy. He visited the Naval Academy, and he just decided he'd rather be up in the air than down on the water. And neither one of them appealed to me. I want on the ground. When I fall, I don't want to have to fall very far. So we'll be in prayer. God's will be done where you're to go. Very good. Any other prayer requests? Anything else needs to be talked about? Okay, the Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity. For God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is first of all defined as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, but also one who knows how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Because it is the Holy Spirit who guides us what to do with our time, our lives, and our money. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory. People, there are a lot of things going on. We have a lot of things. Oh, by the way, I forgot one of the most important announcements. This Wednesday, I don't know what's on TV on Wednesday night. I don't know what your plans are, but I pray that you will alter your plans and be here Wednesday night. Two different times. 6 o'clock, we're going to have refreshments, food, bring some food, and we're going to have fellowship with the Risleys. We have been praying for them for many, many years. These are true, and I do mean true, missionaries. They go to the mission field. They live on the mission field. They don't leave the mission field. They don't stay in hotels. They stay right in the level that the people they minister to. They drive along, and they see a house on a hill. That's a whole mission to them. That's a whole field to them. They'll drive up, knock on the door, Can we talk to you about Jesus Christ? And they've never been told no. And before they leave, there's a whole group. All they saw was one house. Before they leave, there's 20 people, cousins and workers and people, giving them the gospel. Then they pass out sheets of paper of the study thing for the Bible. Very simple. These are simple people. It'll say on the one side, say, what does John 3:16 say? For God so what the world? You just write the word love. And they love it. This is their first introduction to the Bible. They absolutely love it. And what I love, and I can't wait for him to tell you himself, but they'll say to him, the Catholic Church doesn't teach that. Why doesn't the Catholic Church teach that? I love them. They do not down the Catholic Church. All they say is, I don't know. Why don't you go ask the priest? Go ask him why he doesn't teach grace through faith for salvation or whatever it is. And so they've been doing this for so many years. All their children are involved. Their daughter, so involved, she got her medical degree in Mexico. She's a Mexican citizen, Mexican degree, runs a clinic now. She'll be here Wednesday night. So, right, y'all going to be able to come? Good. And she's the one that we gave, what kind of? Sonogram to. And so, just if you can, please be here. Sir, yes.
Hi. On the food, this is not finger food. We're serving a dinner that evening.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Just to clarify that.
Yeah.
Is there somebody?
Are you August?
We've kind of done a little bit, so if you want to.
Yeah, we need to.
Yeah, we're kind of making a meal put together. So,
all right.
So 6 o'clock, and we'll just eat and fellowship with them and talk, and then around 7:30. Have Bill get up and do tell us about his ministry and all. Please try to be here, if at all possible, and just rearrange your schedule, and let's have a good showing for Bill and Pat Risley and Courtney at Wednesday night. Okay, with that said, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this humble assembly, and we thank you so much for the wonderful opportunities you give this assembly. The internet worldwide, young people in two of our homes and in camp, right here in our own assembly, missionary outreach, publication. And Father, therefore, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will use these offerings to continue the outreach, the ministry of the gospel of this assembly. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. With the missionary outreach for the last, say, month or so. First of all, we had the Hills from the continent of Africa, and then we had Fassel and Carrie last Sunday, and I'm so thankful for your attendance and your listening and all last Sunday, and that was the continent of Asia, and then Wednesday evening, the continent of North America with the Risleys, and we've got some work done. Laurie and Pat are working on the missionary boards over here. And people, you know, if you have anything you want to say, you know a missionary, and that is sound in the gospel, and you want to talk about it, let us know. We don't have a monopoly up here. These are the ones that the Lord has brought to us. So let's continue to be involved in the mission activity. And getting the word out. One of the most interesting and fun things about Acts on Wednesday night is the spreading of the gospel in Jerusalem, met with opposition, in Judea and Samaria, met with opposition, this time from the political as well as the religion. But this coming Wednesday, not this Wednesday, but the next Wednesday, we're going to go to the uttermost parts of the world with Paul's missionary journey. It's just a the book of Acts is a study on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how Jesus Christ used the Holy Spirit for the spreading of the gospel in the outline that he gives in chapter 1. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So this is what's going on Wednesday night about the missionary activity. And Antioch took the lead. Jerusalem, dead. Antioch, alive. One reason they were alive, they were positive to the grace teaching. Jews and Gentiles worshiping together. That was very difficult at that time. You got to know this. Jews and Gentiles worshiping together and working together, studying the Word of God under Paul and Barnabas for a year. Then they're ready for missionary outreach. Just a tremendous study what's going on in the book of Acts. So let's get to our work this morning, though. We're in Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of this prayer, this is not a ritual prayer. I'm not the teacher. God the Holy Spirit's a teacher. Be sure you're in His power. Let's spend a moment, test yourself to see if you're trusting God the Holy Spirit to open up the truth of God's Word to you. Let us pray. We're overwhelmed, Heavenly Father, with Your benevolence, giving us Your Word, so undeserving. Yet You've given to us the completed canon of Scripture. But we'd be no better off without the Holy Spirit. You've graciously supplied us with Him. We pray now that Your Spirit will open our eyes to things that You would have us to see and to understand in Colossians this morning. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, at peace with one another. Okay, three concluding commands in Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Verse 18 starts a new section that you're not going to like. Okay, first, continue being at peace given by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, continually thankful to God the Father. That'll be the next lesson. Thirdly, to continue all your life getting to know the teachings about Jesus Christ. People were never too old to get this teaching. Now, continue being at peace given by the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule. The verb is let rule. Let rule the peace of Christ in your hearts, to which you were indeed called into one body. Now, we're going to work on that word rule. That's not a good rule. That's a good word. So we're going to work on that. This verse starts off with a concluding conjunction. And then we have the definite article specifying or identifying the peace, which is further identified, and the peace of Christ. What is meant by peace, the peace of Christ? You will know that you all are in the angelic conflict or the spiritual warfare. When you find yourself one night just praying and crying for peace, I don't ask for happiness, money, just give me peace so that I can sleep tonight. One of my favorite books, Habakkuk, chapter 1. Why and how long? When those are your cries to God, you know you're in the conflict. Why is this happening? How long is this going to go on? You'll know that you're in the spiritual warfare. And when you find yourself crying out for peace, you'll know that you're in the battle. See? And since this peace is so important to every believer, especially in times of tribulation, we need to look at this peace. Now, first of all, let's just look at the word concept of peace itself. Irene, where we get the girl's name, Irene. She may not give you peace. She may give you warfare. But nevertheless, that's what her name means. Opposite of war are dissension. Peace, harmony is what this word means. Not what that girl is. It's what this word means. Don't get them confused. Spiritually, peace of mind. Tranquility, existing because of imputed divine righteousness and justice. Reconciliation with God. But there are other categories of understanding this word in the Bible. Peace, health, welfare, even prosperity, happiness. This word is often associated with the Hebrew shalom, which means peace to you, joy, welfare. But the word carries fundamentally two opposite ideas. First, what is present? Harmony, tranquility, peace. Secondly, what is absent? War, turmoil, hostility, grievance, uncomfortness in your soul. A person may be prosperous, but have no peace in their soul. While a person may be doing very poorly, as the world would consider it, and yet have wonderful peace in their soul. How is this possible? A person may be at war with someone, but have peace in his soul. Secondly, there are two ways of looking at the peace, at our peace and God. So we're talking about peace and God. First, peace with God. Peace of God. These are two similar phrases in the Bible. Peace with God and peace of God. They have very different doctrinal meanings. And it's important to us to know this distinction. Secondly, in Romans 5:1, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. While in Philippians 4:7, peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. And people, it will. When you're in a turmoil and there's peace, you just say, I don't know why. I must not be taking this too seriously. Because God is answering your prayer and He's giving you this peace, and we'll see how in a few moments. Philippians 4:7, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds. We have one word rule. Here it says will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So Christ is related to the peace with God. Christ is related to the peace of God. Point three. Peace with God is a peace that is from the cross work of Christ. When one believes in Jesus Christ, he is in a state of peace with God. See, when we're unbelievers, we're hostile. We're enemies. But once you believe in Jesus Christ, that hostility has been removed. Now we're at peace with Him. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to be good for it. You don't have to be moral for it. You don't have to do anything. You're there. If you believe in Jesus Christ, all that is broken and you are at peace with God. That's what this word means. On the cross, Jesus Christ broke down the barrier between man and God and established peace with God. This peace is available to anyone and everyone by simply believing in Jesus Christ as Savior by faith, by grace through faith. For peace of God, now that's a different issue. This is a peace that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. This one you will not always have. This one you can lose. You cannot lose peace with God. But you can lose the peace of God. And that's where we hurt. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, that's inner happiness, and peace. Inner tranquility. Long suffering. Patience in regard to others. We'll be studying that in 1 Corinthians 13 with the 9:15 study. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Every believer is in a state of peace with God by faith in Christ. But in our lives, the believer may or may not experience the peace of God. It's up to you. It's a decision you make. This peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. This peace is not based on circumstances, what are going on in your life. It's based on the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, people, again, it is paramount that we know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Few preachers talk on the filling of the Holy Spirit. Fewer teach on how to be filled with the Spirit. Fewer teaching the truth. It's by grace through faith. Same thing with the gospel. Few preachers are preaching the truth of the gospel. A lot of times you get worked. You got to be good. You got to do this. You got to do that. They got to do these things. Few say, no, all you got to do is by faith, by grace through faith. The same thing is true of filling of the Spirit, people. It's by grace through faith. It's a deliverance. Lewis Berry Chafer points it out in his book. It's a deliverance from God. Different but similar to our salvation. So every believer should know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. 5, peace with God is the result of faith in Jesus Christ. We call it salvation 1 peace, Romans 5:1. Peace of God, faith in the Holy Spirit. See, this is why I always like to go to that Isaiah passage, and now he has sent me and his Spirit. The Isaiah passage is so beautiful. He sent me, Jesus Christ, and his Spirit. Me, the Gospels, the Holy Spirit, Acts, the whole book of Acts, but namely Acts chapter 2. So that's the very groundwork. And then we have the Pentecost to the Gentiles, which we just studied, and that's in Acts chapter 10. Every believer is given the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's your peace with God. Peace of God depends on your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Why do you think he gave us the Holy Spirit? He gave it to us so that we would allow the Holy Spirit to rule. We've got one of two choices. Either your flesh sits on the throne, as Bill Bright used to say, or the Holy Spirit. You get to choose who sits on the throne. It's a simple matter of faith. The Holy Spirit was given to us the moment we believe in Christ, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, so that the believer can experience in his life, experience your position with Christ and God, like imputed divine righteousness. Galatians 5 has the hope of righteousness by faith. That's your righteous life. The peace, all the wonderful things that we have with God, you can experience in your life if you know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit and then allow him to control you. We have eternal peace with God due to our position in Jesus Christ, but we can experience this peace by the power of the Holy Spirit, who will pour this peace into our hearts regardless of the circumstances of life, regardless of who you are, regardless of what you've done. All you have to do is go to faith, and he's that close to you, ready to fill, power, and lead. 6, peace with God is not experiential. It is our eternal position with God. The believer can never lose it. However, peace of God can be experienced regardless of circumstances in life. You experience this peace. I think every one of you are old enough to know when there's peace in your soul and when there's not. There's a comfort inside. Even in the human realm. I know if I disappointed my mother, there was antagonism inside. There's just a peace. And we know when it's there and when it's not. Now as Christians, and talking about in a spiritual warfare, there's a peace that is inside of us. And you know when it's there and when it's not. Nobody has to tell you. And you can lie. You can lie to others. But you can't lie to yourself. You know whether you're at peace in your soul or whether you're not. And if you're not, you know how to get that peace in your soul. So, 7, peace with God can never change. but you can lose the peace of God, not walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. 8. Both peace with God and peace of God are provided by the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Compare Romans 5:1, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:7, peace of God in Christ Jesus. People, one of the most beautiful phrases we're going to see in Acts, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, is the word of God continue to spread. Not Christians, not number of people responding. The word of God. People, let me tell you something. Your knowledge of Jesus Christ, you can never get too old. If you don't want to study and learn about Jesus Christ, check yourself out. Sit down and have a long talk with yourself. You're in a long, wrong route. You're in the wrong place. I want to learn about Him. That's why Peter says, increasing in the knowledge of grace and of Jesus Christ. This is what we're here for. To learn more and more about Jesus Christ. Now we come to Roman numeral 3. The gospel is called the gospel of peace. And why not? It's peace with God. Ephesians 6:15. Isaiah 52:7. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news, who announces peace, and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation, and says to Zion, your God reigns. I hope everyone in this room and listening, if Kavanaugh had not won, and is not on the Supreme Court, God, I hope you don't think God doesn't still reign. He reigns no matter what happens. He has a plan no matter what happens. So, yes, we like to say God's in control. But had He not won, God's still in control. What we're saying now is, I like the way He's controlling. I like the way He's controlling now. But even had it not happened that way, our God is still in control. God still reigns. Roman number 4, message of peace as salvation. Paul begins every one of his letters with peace to you. Peter does the same, as does Jude. People are the principal. In a time when the world was in constant turmoil, where you were not sure who was your friend or foe, when anti-Christianity was everywhere, peace signifies what manner of relationship you were bringing. Paul's message is one of peace. Not anger, not hostility, but peace. That's why he starts it that way. 5, peace in the Christian life. Peace, first, we are to live in a sphere of peace, poured into our hearts by the filling of the Holy Spirit. Then, when you have this peace in you, it should flow out from you. Therefore, we live at peace with one another. But that starts with peace inside you first. Romans 12:18. If possible, it's not always, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Unbelievers and believers. It's not always possible. But when it is possible, when it depends on you, you do your part. When you are attacked, you don't counterattack. See? That's why love is long-suffering, love is kind. It has to be long-suffering because it's abused. It's kind when the other person doesn't deserve kindness. One of the many things that happens when believers walk by faith in the Holy Spirit is peace with one another. You will go out of your way to maintain peace with one another. If you go out of your way to be snappy, as Paul says in Galatians 5, bite one another. See, you know one thing, I'm not in the Holy Spirit. But what I just said, Wow, that's a flag in my soul. I'm not in the Holy Spirit. I just bad-mouthed. I just was bitter. I just judged, gossiped, criticized to other believers in the assembly. Shame on me. Got to get back in the filling of the Spirit. And it's simple. It's easy. Stealing from one another does not promote peace. Harsh words does not promote peace. Striking one another definitely doesn't promote peace. Wronging another believer does not promote peace. Romans 14:19. So then, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. For an example, let us pursue the things. What's the first thing you pursue? Inner peace. That's where it's going to begin. If there's going to be peace between you and another believer, it begins inside you. So to pursue it, I'm going to pursue being sure I'm in the power of the Holy Spirit where He can pour in His fruit of peace. And then watch my words and my action. You know what Christians are really good at doing? They're really good at little sarcastic remarks to another believer about another believer. We are the best at that. Little snide remarks. The way they dress, the way they act, the way their children are, the way this, on and on and on. At work, at home, church, running down things about one another. People, it does not matter if what you're saying is true or not. Just because it's true doesn't mean you get to open your mouth. Keep your mouth shut. Let that up to God. It doesn't matter whether what you're saying about another believer is true or not. Keep your mouth closed. At work, at home, family, church, running down another believer with the little remarks that hurt their soul and damage peace. And often, you are not even aware of what comes from your mouth. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not guided by the Holy Spirit. You can cause another believer to quickly leave peace of the Holy Spirit by reacting by what you say, what you do. They're in church. They've come here to learn the Word of God. They're nice. They're okay. And you come in with your little nasty remark. Well, do you see the way you park? I just throwing that out. Something. See? People, it's just the way. You're sitting in my seat. See? We don't trust like that here. See? Don't do that. Just smile. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Be like Barnabas. Be encouragement. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, rejoice. Be made complete. Be comforted. Be like-minded. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Roman numeral 6. Why are we to live in peace with one another? What's the big deal? Why is that important to God? First and foremost, this creates an environment for the gospel. Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See? What in the world does this mean? First, this refers to sanctification referred to in Hebrews 12:10. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Now back to the Hebrews 12:14. How can our sanctification cause others to see God? First, we're sanctified or set apart to God. Secondly, we are to witness to the lost world of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we must understand the full significance of sanctification and its meaning and application to our daily lives. People, this is not a theological concept. This is for your daily life. You are sanctified, set apart to God. Know that. You represent Him. When you open your big mouth, when you act inordinately, see, you're representing God. The point here is that if we do not pursue peace, but rather antagonize others, cause strife with others, how in the world would they desire to have a relationship with your God and your Savior? Because I don't want Him. If that's the way your God and Savior act, forget it. I don't want Him. See? You're supposed to be a Christian. This is the way you act? I don't want to be it. It's why your sanctification, set apart to God, is a witness to the world. So in answer to the question, why are we to live in peace with one another? First, it creates an environment for the gospel to others that we come in contact with. And I'm going to ask your prayers. I'm right now talking about once a week to a Muslim. He owns a little shop. In his shop, he has unbelievable Christian books. And I just right out asked him, I said, are you a Christian? Asking this 2 weeks ago. And he said, no, I'm Muslim. And I said, okay. We talked a few minutes. I got with Phil, talked some more. Went in this week, a little bit more. And each week, just a little bit more. And smile, talk, just what do you believe about this, that, and the other. And I'm going to ask you to be in prayer that the Holy Spirit will start convicting this man's soul. Please. Okay, second reason. First reason why? For the sake of the gospel, people. You represent Christ. Secondly, the result, it is a result of loving as Jesus Christ loves. You want to love as Christ loves? Fed by the Holy Spirit. Christ's love is peaceful. Third, it may help another believer from going into sin. Fourth, it may make it easier for another believer to be restored to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. If you're at peace with them, they've just done something, they've done you wrong business or whatever, and you're at peace with that. And walk away and think about that. You know, we go to the same church, I can get back into the Spirit. See, this kind of thing. Fifth, Romans 14:19. You, being at peace with one another, will make it easier for others to grow in doctrine and walk in the Holy Spirit. People don't come to this church because of the glamorous building. Let's face the facts. Fassel spoke at a church. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was just absolutely gorgeous. I mean, just the stage was bigger than our room. It was unbelievable. See? You come here to learn the Word of God. If you're not offended by this room, maybe someone else won't be. Maybe tell somebody else about learning the Word of God. See? That's what this is about. This church is about. So, fifth, Romans 14:19, you being at peace with one another will make it easier for others to grow in doctrine and walk in the Holy Spirit. They don't come here to be antagonized, criticized, their children criticized, their parents criticized. That's not why we come here. We come here to study the Word of God, worship Christ. Worship God in the power of His Spirit. Let's be at peace. That sets up for that kind of environment. I think a good example, if you did any TV watching during the Kavanaugh thing, was at the Senate, on the Senate floor. That was not peaceful. That was antagonistic. That was brutal. Brutal! See? You want just the opposite of that in the church. Sixth, it will help you, yourself, maintain a spirit-filled life, experience inner peace yourself. It hurts our souls when there is not peace between you and another believer. Seventh, in the assembly with believers, we are to strive for peace. Ephesians 4:1. Well, you don't have to throw it in there. It's given it to you. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility. What did we study in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12? These are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. These are the things we are to have. Humility, gentleness, with patience, long-suffering, forbearance to one another. That's hupomakothumia. Hupomone is patience in regard to things in life. It's in regard to time, rain, garage door, these kind of things. But makothumia, patience in regard to people. Ephesians 4:3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Also in the assembly, we are to live in peace with one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you, that's the pastor teacher, and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. People, if you don't, find one that you can. Find one that you can grow under, respect, and sit under, and learn. Verse 13, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live at peace with one another. You don't worship him. People, please, everything I say, you need to run through your spiritual mill in your brain. Does this line up with what I know about Scripture? If it doesn't, please come talk to me. Now, you said this, but you know what? I have this other verse that says something else. Let's talk about it. See what's going on. Eighth, peace is essential in having hope, confidence in life. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, that in order to that, God fills you with joy and peace by the Holy Spirit, in order that you may abound in hope, confidence, by the power of the Holy Spirit. People, we don't live without him. I hope every one of you know how to be filled with the Spirit. The ninth reason we want to pursue peace, we are exhorted to allow peace to rule in our hearts. Colossians 3:15, our study. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Therefore, let's take a look at that. We'll be looking at that in a moment. Point seven. Ephesians 2:11-18. Ephesians 2:11. Therefore, remember that formerly, before salvation, you, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, Jews, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Circumcision has nothing to do with salvation. This study is very important in our study in Acts, the spreading of the gospel, how the circumcised really resented Gentiles, one, being saved, back off from that, but definitely not receiving the Holy Spirit and definitely not associating with them. So they were very strict on this. Verse 12, remember. Now, before you can remember anything, you have to know it. That you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, heirs of promise, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, after faith in Christ, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off, having been brought near by the blood of Christ, what's the blood of Christ? Spiritual death on the cross. Remember, we've done a long study on that. Specifically by the death of Christ on the cross. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace. Person of Jesus Christ, and he is our peace by removing the barrier and reconciling us to God the Father by removing the barrier, who made both Jews and Gentiles into one and broke down the barrier, the dividing wall. Verse 15, by abolishing once and for all in his flesh, humanity, the enmity, the barrier, which is the law of commandments, the Mosaic law, contained in ordinance, Mosaic law, that in himself, we saw this in Colossians 2, the law was crucified with Christ on the cross, that in himself he might make the two, Jew and Gentile, into one, into union with Christ, thus establishing peace with God. This is peace with God. 16, and might reconcile them both, Jew and Gentile, in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity, remove the barrier between God and man, sinful man. Verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far away, Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, Jews. For through him, Jesus Christ, we both, Jews and Gentiles, have our access in one Spirit. People, you cannot get away from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Have our access in one Spirit to the Father. People always remember, why did Christ come to earth? To take us to God the Father. This does not minimize Christ. This accentuates what he came for. He came to take us to the Father. The Holy Spirit came to take us to Christ, who takes us to God the Father. That's why you want to spend time in prayer. You're speaking to God, your Father, and he's your Father because of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament saints, they knew him as Father, but they never prayed to him that way. You and I pray to him as God the Father because of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, this peace of Jesus Christ given to every believer by or through the Holy Spirit. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you so that in me, in Christ, you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world. When you do not have the sin of peace, you know one thing for certain. I'm not filled with the Spirit. So, let's just take our apathetic. Night, no peace. Can't sleep, no peace. Don't try to think about your problems, how to straighten them out, how to solve them. That's not your problem. What you want to do is immediately, wait a minute, I'm not right with God. So you open your Bible, and you start praying. You go back to trusting the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about your problem. That's not why you're not at peace. You're not at peace because you're not right with the Holy Spirit. Get right with him. Then he will pour in this peace. And it will surpass understanding. Something will start happening to you. You might even fall asleep while praying. And that's okay with God. That's okay. 3 moments ago, you couldn't even sleep. Now you're at peace with him. This is what the Holy Spirit does for you when you concentrate and trust him. This peace is described in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. This is in the context of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, this peace spoken of in Colossians 3:15, our study, is the peace that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. And this is a peace that every believer has the potential of experiencing by faith in the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the only place, now we're getting ready for that word rule, let rule the peace of Christ. I want to talk about it. This is the only place it occurs in the New Testament. So, we're going to have to take a look at it. Different Bible translations of this word. I've just went through some Bible translations. Rule, control, guide in decisions you make. That's pretty good. make, you may govern, preside, settle all questions, or Kenneth Weiss, whom I love, let it be acting as an umpire in your hearts. And that's the one we're going to look at. Let it act as an umpire. Now, all of these are attempts to translate the Greek word brachuno. It was a common word in the athletic games in ancient world, which, of course, was very important to their lives. This word means, basically, to be an umpire. They had umpires or officials over the games. Now, we're all familiar with our society today with umpires. Sometimes we boo them, sometimes we cheer them. See? Who have to make judgments about plays, and they got to make it like that. They don't, now today, I'm sorry, I'm old-fashioned, I know I'm an old fogey, we're dying out, so young people be happy. I don't like that they go over, take time, look at a camera, get it all down, see what's happened, take it little stage by step, all that type of, and then make a right decision. No. Boom, they make a decision. Right there. Sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes they're right. See? That's all part of an umpire. See? But the point I'm making here is, right then. Right then, they got to make that decision. That's what an umpire has to do. See? So they had umpires. Now, in our passage, we have the present active imperative of this verb. This is the seventh imperative in Colossians 3. Each one of these imperatives are given on the foundation that you have been raised up with Christ, verse 1. Therefore, we are to live our lives as one who have been raised up with Christ. You should also remember that the imperative mood is the furthest removed from reality. This means you have to make a decision, a conscious decision, in regard to every one of these imperatives. As we have noted, they are all called for a decision of faith. Remember that faith is antithetical to our flesh nature. That's why, if you want to understand, invite Jesus into your heart. Why is that so popular? Because the flesh nature wants to be part of the equation. The basic instinct of man is not sex. The basic instinct is to do something and be rewarded. That's our basic instinct. That's the way we're reared by our parents. Oh, you were good. You get a little candy or something. Get a little praise. Our flesh nature wants to be part of the equation. So therefore, invite Jesus into your heart. I get to do something. That's not a biblical word. But it's what's so popular. Because we like that. I get to be part of it. I get to invite the King of Kings into the sewer. See? That's not good. It's belief. Faith. Believe in Him. Faith in Him. See? And same thing true of spirituality. I want to be part of the equation. I want to confess. I want to repent. I want to yield. I want to do this. I want to be part of this equation. Sorry, you're dead in sin, the power of sin. All that you can do is faith. That's it. And that's all God wants, is our faith. So this word here is an umpire. And the peace of Christ be an umpire in your hearts, used here for your soul. That area of your soul and your brain that has to make decisions. So what does this mean? What does it mean that the peace of Christ be an umpire in your hearts? This would be easy if it said, let righteousness of Christ umpire your decision making. You did wrong. You didn't do right. Boy, you don't talk right. You don't act right. I'm against drinking and you drank. I'm against smoking and you smoke. I'm against this and that. And boy, here's the righteousness of God. Be easy. Got our little banner here. Got our list. See? Be so right to have righteousness. as the umpire. That'd make it easy for us. But that isn't what I have here, people. That isn't what we have. We have peace as the umpire. Note carefully that this peace is a right-out decision from you. This means when you have to make a decision with your husband, your wife, your relatives, family members, friends, church, work, social, when you have to make a decision, we are to allow peace to umpire how we're to act. I'd really like to just come up and give you my knuckles. How you knuckle sandwich, that's what we used to call it. I'll give you a knuckle sandwich where I'm going to give you. See? But not anymore. Now the umpire of how I'm going to deal with this situation, peace. There'll be peace between us. I'm at peace. You haven't broke my peace with the Holy Spirit. See, you've done me wrong. And what happens with most of us, as soon as we've done wrong, we want to counter. We get out of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get me out of the Holy Spirit. I'm still in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do peace. So this is what we have going on here. When you have to make a decision, you have to allow peace to umpire how you will act. One, again, we see this happen with a mindset not on peace, but on the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:6, for the mind set on the flesh is death. But the mind that you're thinking, set on the Holy Spirit, is life and peace. Inner peace and peace with others. So right off, we are confronted with a situation in life where we have to decide what we're going to say or do. And people, what I'm trying to point out here with that example about the take time out of a football game to go look at these, that you don't have that privilege. Right now. They've just offended you. Something's just happened. Right now, you've got to make a decision. You don't have time to go look at the replay. See how it went. You've got to make up your mind right then. Somebody cuts in front of you and you're driving. Right then, you've got to make a decision. Someone says something, does something, whatever it is that offends you. Right then, you've got to make up your mind. We're going to see this on Sunday morning at the 9:15 class. Love is kind. What is kindness? Write down a definition of what kindness means. You know what kindness is? It's what's needed right now. Right now. See? You've got to make up your mind right now. And that's what this is. You've got to make up your mind right in the middle of the game. Right in the middle, the screaming crowds, everything's going on, people are hollering, people are running around all around, things are going on in your life, you're financially in a bind, you're already hurting, and this has already happened, your kids already made the teachers mad at school, on and on and on, and now this has happened to you, you've had it, you're going to explode. Or, you can be in control of your mind and make the decision. Be at peace. And let peace umpire what you're going to do, what you're going to say. That's what this word is. Two, there are unavoidable circumstances that intrude on our daily lives. People, this is from your husband, from your wife, from your brother, from your sister, family members, friends, people at church, people at work. They're unfortunate. They're unavoidable. They're going to happen. We're human beings. How are we going to handle this unexpected, unavoidable conflict? Used to be a commercial. I forgot which one it was, but I just want to be out of here. I think it was Southwest Airlines. I just want to be out of here. See? How many times do we feel that way? I just want to be out of here. I don't want to have to deal with this. I don't want to deal with these people. I want out of here. See? Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. How are we going to handle this unexpected, unavoidable conflict? Let the umpire of your soul be peace. responding in peace should be easy, especially if they did not purposefully offend you. That's easy. But dear Christian, even when they do something harmful, upsetting to you, even they meant to do it. See? They meant to do it. We're to be at peace with them. In driving, is it worth getting out of fellowship of the Holy Spirit because somebody else drives like a nut? To a lot of us it is. Oh, I'm sorry, God, I didn't mean to do that. See? Is it worth it? Is what they did, I don't care what they did. I don't care what your husband did, your wife did, your children, your brother, your sister, friends. Is what they did worth it to get out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit? That's what you've got to decide immediately. See? And then you've got to make the immediate decision. See? Don't listen to hyper-Calvinism. You have volition. Your volition gets to decide what you're going to do at that moment. You don't get to sit over here. I wished I hadn't done that. I wished I hadn't said that. Can I have a repay and redo this? Don't get to do that. See, you got to do it right now in the conflict. You got to make up your decision, umpire, how you're going to handle it. Is it going to be by peace or is it going to be antagonism? Responding in peace. See, this is the difficult thing. Now, point three. We studied in Colossians 3:1 and 2 that we are to set our mind, our thinking on things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, not on things of the earth. Let this umpire, that is your thinking, when your spiritual life is interrupted, challenged by others, people remember, this earth isn't your deal. This isn't a big deal. What you've done isn't worth it. I'm at a higher level. Say that to yourself. Don't say it to them. You'll really cause trouble. But I'm at a spiritual level. I don't want to break that. Romans 14:17 again. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What does it matter what they're eating? What does it matter what they're drinking? It's righteousness, peace, and joy, the Holy Spirit. For he in this way, peace with others, serves Christ, is acceptable to God, and approved by men. So then, we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Corinthians, knowledge puffs up. Many Christians build, I just learn all the doctrine. I got books of doctrine. I learn doctrine. I study doctrine every day. All this kind of stuff. Arrogant. Love edifies. If your doctrine doesn't edify you first and then edify others, guess what? You're dead. No Holy Spirit. No spiritual love, no peace. What we're supposed to do is edify, encourage one another. That's what we're supposed to do. So if we can counter with augmentation, how can they be restored to fellowship? We antagonize, we build fire with fire. We're responsible for an environment that leads to the spiritual building up of another believer, especially true in the assembly. Ephesians 4:3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. 4, living in peace, we're dealing with the word umpire, building in peace with one another should characterize our lives at home, husband, wife, family, brothers, sisters, work, people you work with, church, wherever you go, on a plane, grocery store, wherever. To maintain peace should umpire every decision we make in life. Well, I can't believe that's the price you're going to charge me for that. I don't want that. That doesn't make the peace. Fine. I don't want it at that price. You don't need to get all huffy. That salesperson didn't put the price on there. They did. The store. Okay, so big deal. I'll never forget A Christian lady used to work at Continental Airlines. And there was a big problem, and some guy was just cussing her out. And I'm glad it was a big, tall Texan. Big, tall guy with a cowboy hat on. He came up, put his arm around that guy, and said, "In Texas, we don't talk to ladies that way." That's all he said. That's all he said. That guy just shut down. He looked at the lady and said, "I'm sorry." Pulled off his arm, walked away. That's all he had to do. Made for peace. See, what I'd have done, I'd have gone up, turned around, and said, "You look, we don't die, I'll bust you out." We don't do that, people. Make for peace. Ephesians 4:3, being diligent to preserve the unity of peace, of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, in a bond of peace. 4, living with one another should characterize our lives at home, work, or church, wherever we go, to maintain peace. 5, why should we make peace the umpire of our lives? First, because God commands that we do. Good enough. See, I learned that. A lot of people don't learn that today. My mother said, "Because I said so." That was it. That was it. I learned, don't challenge that. I challenged it at first. Blah, 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 blah. That's good enough. Yep. That's fine. God said so. That's good enough. See? But also, for the sake of being an effective witness for Christ. Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with all men, unbelievers and believers, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. How can you witness to someone with whom you've just reacted in a manner hostile? At the filling station, driving, various stores you go to, work, wherever you are. They will not want your Christ. They will not want your Lord. So remember, at all times, we are witnesses for Christ. Yes, even in your home, in your marriage. Why should your husband, your wife, your sister, your brother desire to grow in the Word if that's the way it's treating you? If it isn't helping you, why would I want that? So let's don't go to church Sunday. 6, we grow in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ so that we may live a righteous life. But, dear people, if we cause conflict, add to conflict by our reactions, how can we even think we're living a righteous life? James 3:18. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. 7, the Word of God instructs each of us to live and how to get along with other believers and unbelievers. 1 Peter 3:8. To sum up, it's a Greek word means to end. Present the final purpose, that which all these parts bring to fruition. All of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit. See? You mean I have to be all those things? Yep. But you cannot do it in the flesh. You can only do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. 9, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult. See? When I was a kid, we used to talk about piece of wood on a shoulder. Knock off this piece of wood. That type of thing. See? Don't want to do that. Not returning evil for evil. You bring about peace in response to evil and insult. Remember 1 Corinthians 13:5, that spiritual love is not provoked and does not take into account when wronged. That's amazing. That's powerful. Spiritual love does not take into account when wronged. You just wronged me. But spiritual love doesn't take that into account. Going to still treat you in kindness. See? And now, under the impact of spiritual love, you can respond in peace. But giving a blessing instead. They don't deserve a blessing. They don't deserve kindness. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. All of this comes up to what's going to happen right after the rapture. Please remember, every time you say, "Oh Lord, come quickly," just remember what happens right after the rapture. You stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, where He judges your life in the power of the Spirit. 10, the one who desires life, a meaningful life on earth, that counts into eternity, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. 3:14, therefore, beloved, remember at all times this is what you are in Christ. Colossians 3:12, you're in the beloved. Since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him, Jesus Christ, your Savior, friend, in peace, spotless and blameless. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace be with you. All right? We will continue that next Sunday morning. Let's now go into communion. We have communion this morning, and then we have fellowship time together. And I still resent Tish. She calls it gossip time. But it really is fellowship time together. Okay. I think everyone here understands the two elements, the bread and the cup. Bread represents the body of Jesus Christ. The cup represents the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is our custom that everyone hold the bread till everyone is served, and then when we take communion with Him, we take communion with each other. Let us introduce our study by prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the communion service. It's time for us to just settle back and to remember why we're here. You called us to be in your Son. This communion service is a reminder of that. We begin each month just remembering how we entered the plan and that we're in the plan. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Hold the bread until everyone has been served. That you hold in your hand represents a decision by Jesus Christ while He was God, not to think of deity as something to hold on to, but laid it aside, became a member of the human race that He might serve us by taking our judgment of our sins on the cross. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it," symbolizing the cross, "and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It is our custom that everyone hold a cup till everyone has been served. We may take communion with him by taking communion with each other. Stand. The cup that you hold in your hand represents the ministry of the Holy Spirit when Christ had left the disciples and other believers. What do we do now if you're leaving? When you went to Jerusalem, we followed you to Jerusalem. You went to Samaria, we followed you to Samaria. What are we going to do? And he gave them the Spirit. Paul continues to writing in the same manner, the Lord's Supper. He, Jesus Christ, took the cup also after supper. The Passover is over. This is for the church, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the bread of your word this morning, teaching us of your love in Hosea. Teaching of this peace that your Spirit gives us. Pray, Father, your word will settle in our souls, have an impact in our lives. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the food we're about to take. Set it apart to nourish for our body and our fellowship to your eternal glory. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.